Hello and welcome to the Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we continue in the Silver King's life after World War II in a trilogy of plays called The Silver Fields of Northbrook. We are in the second play called Wrigley Days, and this is scene 4, entitled Football Games. It's early fall, 1958. School has begun for the kids in the cul-de-sac on Gregg Road in Northbrook, Illinois. And as the World Series concludes, with transistor radio sitting on desks in classrooms around the neighborhood, the sports world turns to football. And on the weekends, Gregg Rhodes' fathers and sons played fearsome games. The Gregg Road cul-de-sac community was crowded with kids who loved sports. It had built-in teams because every family had at least two children. The Scanlons, Shockers, Marars, and Bollatons supplemented the Silverfields, Krauses, and Levy athletes. The main arena was the Levy's backyard. It had room to roam. Fall weekends were filled with voices, fathers and sons, competing, learning, loving the days and years. The scene is a football game Saturday at the Levy's. High Krause and Stanley Silverfield led the adults. Michael Silverfield and Skip Levy led the kids. These games allowed children to see their parents' athletic prowess. And this way, Michael was to learn that his dad, Stanley, had been an exceptional childhood and graceful adult athlete. Those football Saturdays revealed men in their 30s as gifted players who guided the cul-de-sac's offspring to competition, touchdowns, and laughter. The connecting tissue for these fall football weekends was the enormous love that fathers and sons had for their favorite professional team, the Monsters of the Midway, the mighty Chicago Bears. The cul-de-sac kids had their favorites, of course, including the fullback Rick Caceres and the fearsome defensive end Doug Atkins. And a particular favorite was Willie the Wisp Gallimore. He was a football player of noted fame. He was a halfback in the NFL for the Bears from 1957 to 63. He had attended Florida A&M University under the famous coach Jake Gaither, and Gallimore became a college football Hall of Famer. Willie the Wisp was on the Bears' 1963 NFL championship team, and they retired his number 28. And he is considered one of the 100 greatest Chicago Bears of all time. The Gregg Road fathers of the 50s, Bears fans of course, spoke endlessly about a then-retired NFL quarterback named Sid Luckman. Luckman, a son of Brooklyn, New York, was born in 1916, and that made him about 7 years older than the Silver King. A schoolboy football star, Sid Luckman went on to play for Columbia University in New York City under the famed coach Lou Little, and was drafted by the Chicago Bears, owned and led by George Halas, in 1939. Sid Luckman led the Chicago Bears to 4 NFL championships in 12 years, finishing his career in 1950. And he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1965. He died in 1998 at 81. Like Sid Luckman, Stanley Silverfield was an exceptional Jewish athlete, and he and K. Cal Levy and Hi Krause, the adults who led those football games in the Levy's backyard, were men, Jewish men, after World War II. And Sid Luckman in his career in the NFL meant the world to them. Of course, the fathers and sons of those Greg Rode football games weren't the only Chicago Bear fans in the North Shore suburbs in the 1950s. Another up-and-coming Bears fan lived just down the road in Highland Park, Illinois. His name was R.D. Rosen. And as fate would have it, he lived across the street from Sid Luckman. As an adult, R.D. Rosen became a prolific writer. And in 2019, the Atlantic Monthly Press published his book entitled Tough Luck, Sid Luckman, Murder, Inc., and the Rise of the Modern NFL. Rosen begins his book with an introduction entitled The Quarterback Next Door. In 1959, when I was 10 years old, I was fascinated by the new occupants of a red brick colonial house around the corner from my family's quirky custom split level. Word had spread quickly throughout Highland Park, our suburb on the North Shore of Chicago, that the new occupants were former Chicago Bears quarterback Sid Luckman and his family. This was of particular interest to me since I had recently become a rabid Chicago Bears fan. An embarrassing amount of my mental and emotional life was consumed by the team and its fortunes. My most noticeable talent in those days was my drawing ability, and my school notebooks were filled with pictures of football players and the hash-marked turf of Wrigley Field, where the Bears played their home games until 1971. On autumn Sunday mornings, while I fidgeted in confirmation class at Congregation Shalom, our activist reform rabbi had temporarily stopped believing in the bar mitzvah, I emerged from my football reveries only long enough to write an occasional essay about the non-existence of God. Judaism was my faith, but the Chicago Bears were my religion. R.D. Rosen continued, and Sid Luckman was professional football's Moses, having led the Bears, the first modern pro football dynasty, to the promised land. Although I was too young to have seen Luckman play, his legendary status was reinforced every time I heard fans of my father's generation exclaim, usually when one of Luckman's lesser successors overthrew an open receiver, quote, "Where's Sid Luckman when we need him?" end quote. The great quarterback presided over my obsession with the Bears, even though I was too young to appreciate or even know about his specific deeds. Only later would I learn that he had once led the most feared team in the National Football League, the Monsters of the Midway, to 5 national championship appearances and 4 titles in 7 years during the 1940s, that in his first year as starting quarterback, the Bears had manhandled the Washington Redskins 73-0, still and probably forever the most lopsided victory in NFL history, that Sid Luckman was the first man to throw 7 touchdown passes in a game and the first to throw for more than 400 yards, and that he held the record for the highest percentage of passes in a single season that went for touchdowns. Despite the rapid evolution of the passing game, most of Luckman's several team records wouldn't be broken for 65 years. As this scene opens, Michael steps forward beneath a single light. He's wearing his Bears number 28 jersey, ready to read the news through a letter to the Stearns. And he begins, "Dear Aunt Lucille and Uncle Lester, I'm ready for the weekend. Dad said we've got a big touch football game scheduled for Saturday in the Levy's backyard. I've been catching passes from High Krause in their yard. He's got a great arm. I'll probably cover Dad on defense. He's still faster than me. Maybe play wide receiver, too. Sports Illustrated says that Norm Van Brocklin is the NFL's best QB. I might read his book. Uncle Norm called to say there may be tickets for next Sunday's game against the Baltimore Colts. Johnny Unitas, Johnny U, the golden arm, is my guy. I've got the brush cut, too. I'll close. Got a big game tomorrow. I love you and hope you'll visit us soon, Michael. And as Michael prepares for the big Greg Road game, we have reached the end of this episode in the second play of the trilogy entitled The Silver Fields of Northbrook. This is scene 4 in the play entitled Football Games. And the second play is called Wrigley Days. And you are listening to the Silver King's War.